Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, Ireland's fastest growing specialist business lender, capitalflow.ie.
Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post, is with us. So we've a lot to get through. Let's start with the numbers now on Department of Social Protection payments between those who are unemployed and those who are getting the pandemic emergency payment. Enormous numbers and enormous cost to the state, Ian.
It is. Good evening, Matt. I think when I spoke to you last week, when we had the first official tally from the department, there was just over 500,000 people between the regular number of people on job seekers benefit and the number who had signed up for the pandemic unemployment payment. That figure has now gone above 700,000 combined, a grand total of 714,000 people. There were 207,000 people claiming the regular €203 per week, but we're now seeing the impact of the additional people who've been laid off at the start of last week when the government announced the further lockdown and the decision that non-essential workers would be laid off as well. So a total of 507,000 people made unemployed within the space of 5 weeks and claiming some form of state guarantee. That figure last week was at 283,000 people. It's now, as I said, 507,000 people. So you really are seeing just vast swathes of the Irish economy just put onto the dole queues. I suppose if there's a comfort to be taken from it, the Department of Employment Affairs and Social Protection have processed all of these payments, 500,000 payments almost, within the space of just a couple of weeks. That is a record amount of time. I mean, we are dealing with a huge volume, so they have gotten 90% of those payments out to people. There are some issues with some bank account numbers, people not giving the correct IBAN, which is a very long number. It's 22 different numbers. Also, some people giving the incorrect PPSN. So people are getting the payments. People are getting them fairly quickly, but it is just a staggering scale. I suppose what's a little bit interesting, Matt, from the figures is the job subsidy scheme, which was announced a few weeks ago by Pascal Donoghue, whereby workers who are still kept on the books of the companies get €410 per week. 39,000 people are now taking part in that scheme with their companies. So you would possibly hope to see that many more companies might just go down the route of saying, well, look, we'll rehire these people, we'll put them back onto the books, and then let them able to claim that extra €60 per week, which, given how long this is going to last, Matt, you'd imagine €60 per week for many, many people with bills mounting up and bills to pay is not an insignificant amount of money. So hopefully in the next coming weeks we'll see employers, as they have, I suppose, a bit more time on their hands, maybe to be able to start signing up for that scheme with revenue. It is fairly easy to do. I know some people out there, some lawyers have criticised it, but the revenue have gone out and said, look, you just have to sign up and show that your business is affected by COVID-19. And at this stage, Matt, I find it very hard to find a business that's unaffected by it.
You mentioned revenue there. Revenue done something quite extraordinary in relation to people who were known euphemistically as tax exiles. There's no such term in law, as one or two of them have pointed out to me over the years, forcibly, sometimes in legal correspondence. They're non-resident.
I've had a few of those myself, not over the years as well.
They have a certain amount of days they're allowed to stay in Ireland. And yet, if they find that they are unable to fly out of the country and end up spending more days than they'd planned, they're not going to be caught for the tax that would apply to any of our listeners or to you and me. Explain this.
Yeah, a really good story in the Sunday Independent and Sunday Times yesterday. There are several dozen high-profile people who are what you and I would call tax exiles. They would say that they are non-resident for tax purposes, which means that they can spend a certain number of days here, about 180-odd days here, without paying any tax, so long as they spend the rest of that time overseas. And there are ways of minimizing that time that you can spend abroad as well. There's been anecdotal evidence, Matt, I'm sure you've seen the stories over the years of private jets circling around just after midnight before landing again. This has emerged that there are many of those people who will be classed by many of us as tax exiles who have been caught here, for want of a better phrase, by the flight restrictions. And instead of that counting towards their days here, which may push them over the limit of amount of days they could spend here without paying tax, it will not count because there's a, like all good insurance contracts, there is force majeure playing a part here, and they are, because it is not in circumstances that was of their own doing, because it is result of COVID-19, they are able to stay here for as long as this emergency lasts, and they will not have to pay any additional taxation.
Yeah,
which
Ian,
may
I'm
seem
sure
a
these people
unfair.
Will say that they do pay taxes, and they pay taxes
and
in relation to any properties that they have.
Tax, yeah. Yes, many of them will pay substantial tax for employees and companies they have here, but not on their overall wealth and overall.
Yeah, not on their personal income, because they will pay that, be it in Switzerland or Gibraltar or Malta or wherever it is that they have their place of residence. But it should be said that if they fall sick, they're going to be using an Irish hospital.
They will, and we no longer, as a result of the deal done last week, we no longer have a two-tier health system. We have a fully public health system. So yes, people will get the benefits of being a citizen of the state, which confers on you, Matt, you, I, and every listener out there have to pay our taxes and have to adhere to the rules of the state. So yes, there is a benefit to having citizenship, and that will accrue to these people. How many of them there are, we do not know, because there's very little way of tracking them. We are talking very small numbers, Matt. I remember writing a number of stories over the last number of years about the payment that was many of these people were meant to have paid, which is a $200,000 a year payment to the revenue, which was brought in during the last financial crisis. That number, it is paid by just several dozen people. So we're not talking a huge amount of people here, Matt.
OK, let's move on to other things. Tell us a little bit about Debenhams and the trouble it's finding itself in. Debenhams being a British retailer which has significant Irish operations.
It does. Debenhams, the oldest department store chain in the UK and Ireland, has about a dozen stores here and about 140 in the UK. Well, its UK business have called in administrators, so effectively they've sought protection from their creditors. So it's not liquidation, it's not a receivership, it's a way of trying to preserve the company through this current time of crisis. It's the second time in the space of a year a company has tried to get protection from creditors. Even without the impact of the last couple of weeks, Debenhams was facing an awful lot of problems in the UK. We know that sales on the high street in the UK have been suffering the last number of years from both online retailers, but also consumers have been switching out because Debenhams probably lost, not a lot of young people go to it. It is seen as being a little bit old-fashioned, a little bit out of date, so it has suffered a lot. It's taking this administration process in the UK to try and protect as many jobs. It employs about 20,000 people in the UK, try and protect as many stores as it can. So this will give a breathing room to come to a solution to, I suppose, put off as many payments as possible with its landlords and also with its suppliers. Its Irish business went into examinership about 3 years ago, or about 4 years ago here, and on those 12 stores to reduce the overall rent burden it paid to Irish landlords, and it came out very successfully in the last number of years. But obviously, given what is happening, Debenhams are saying they hope to be and expect to be back up and open as soon as the lockdown in the UK and Ireland is ended. But just given what is happening, just, apart from COVID-19, the market forces affecting the department store chains, if you don't have products that people are in fashion, that people don't see your brand as relevant, the prospects, the long-term survival prospects, you would have to say, are looking slightly diminished at this stage. But they do say they expect to open up when the lockdown is lifted.
And finally, what about Clark Shoemakers, which I suppose is another name that would be so familiar to people for so many years?
Yeah, another iconic brand. And again, its 350 shops in the UK have been closed for the last number of weeks. Well, Sky News reporting today that Clarks, which is a family-owned business, a very well-established employer, and one of those employers, because they are family-owned, seen as paying their staff well, treating their staff really well and on better terms and conditions than many on the high street. Well, they are also looking at their financial options. And Sky reporting that many of their stores may not open up, that it is speaking to landlords and creditors and has called in a financial advisory firm to advise it on a possible restructuring over the next coming weeks before it opens. So you would expect, Matt, there will be casualties of this ongoing crisis. The more shops are closed, the longer it goes on, the less money they will have when they do open up. And will they still need all those stores and all those employees they had if it takes a long time for retail sales to continue or to get back to the way they were?
Thank you very much, Ian Guider, Markets Editor of the Business Post.
Today FM's Last Word on Business with Matt Cooper and Capital Flow, Ireland's fastest growing specialist business lender, capitalflow.ie.